Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We have Heron Greensmith joining us to tell us about the joint project between Movement Advancement Project, BiNet USA, and the Bisexual Resource Center, Understanding Issues Facing Bisexual Americans. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yep.
I'm John.
I'm Lynette.
And I'm Heron Greensmith.
So Heron, can we just hear a little bit about who you are?
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. My name is Heron Greensmith, and I'm the LGBT Movement and Policy Analyst at the Movement Advancement Project, also known as MAP. I identify as bi and queer, and I live up in Somerville, Massachusetts, right outside of Boston with my cat and my partner. I am an attorney, and I've been working in LGBT policy for about 4 years now.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, great. Can you talk a little bit about what the Movement Advancement Project is and does?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were founded in 2006 as an independent think tank that provides rigorous research, insight, and analysis to help speed equality along for LGBT people. I think of our work kind of as a capacity building for the LGBT movement. We help educate and persuade public audiences like policymakers and allied organizations and funders, along with the media and the American public. And we also support LGBT movement specific audiences like LGBT organizations and advocates and LGBT funders. So our work is focused on three primary areas. We do policy and issue analysis. We do LGBT movement overviews, and then we do some effective messaging research and publications. And so this guide falls in our LGBT movement overviews, which encompass both kind of financial analyses of how the movement is doing and the success of the movement in general to speed along equality for LGBT folks.
That is fantastic.
I went through the site a little bit today, and I think what engaged me was effective messaging. One of the things that we don't do well sometimes is to make our message heard, or it gets lost in some of the rabble that comes out. Could you talk a little bit about that part?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I would direct folks to a website, though, because unfortunately that's the one bucket of work that I don't personally work in. But we do messaging research both around how to help campaigns successfully achieve wins either at the ballot box or in the legislature. We've been working on a two-year campaign. We're in the middle of perhaps the 18-month mark regarding messaging research around non-discrimination provisions. And we also, kind of in tandem with that research, we do work sort of like this guide here, kind of about how to talk about, for example, marriage equality, or how to talk about families, for example. A lot of people have questions about, you know, how can I talk to my neighbors and my friends and my legislators about marriage equality in a way that will move them. You know, so, for example, around marriage equality, we advise folks to stay away from the kind of rights framework that tends to pit folks against one another and instead focus on kind of this sense of love and how same-sex couples have the same, share the same love that opposite-sex couples and different-sex couples do, but laws that prevent same-sex couples from celebrating that love or accessing the security that comes with a marriage really discriminate against same-sex couples. So we try and inform those conversations so people have a good foundation from which to talk.
Great.
So what is this guide aimed at?
So this specific guide is meant kind of as a primer for the bisexual community. We talk about who bisexuals are, where we live, and what we do. We talk a bit about good terminology to use when speaking about the bisexual community and a couple terms that you should avoid. We then address a lot of the disparities facing bisexuals, and at the end we make a few recommendations. So the section on disparities is broken into four issue areas, poverty, employment, violence, and health. And I'm happy to go over a couple of stats from that. I mean, you and I, we all know the disparities facing bi folks But I think that some of the stats really stand out for how striking the disparities are, both between bi folks and the whole, the community as a whole, and bi folks and LGBT people in particular.
Yes, like I said, you said we know what that's about, but you know the stats are just really astounding. How bad it is, you know, our mental health, our physical health,
yeah,
the violence,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So for
yeah,
example,
and if some of our listeners don't know, you can just go back to the archives of our podcast because you will get an education. Speaking for
yeah,
ourselves.
We have a lot of research and studies and a lot of stats, and I will try to pull some of those together for this particular interview for that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to pull out a couple of the ones that were shocking to me, even as a bi person and as an attorney and someone who's been working on LGBT policy specifically for 4 years now, and kind of in generally for I would say about 10 years. A big one that came out recently in this Pew research around how open LGBT folks are with their families, only 28% of bi people say that all the important people in their life know that they're bi, compared to about 77% of gay men and 71% of lesbians. And that was shocking to me and saddening, but I wasn't surprised, because I know that despite the fact that I live very openly as a bi person, I do have to have that continual coming out process. And I have to make those decisions on a day-to-day basis whether I want to come out again to this person or whether my sexuality is important to this person. So I can see why it would be lower for bi folks.
Yes, it is. And I think some people just get really discouraged after a while. And I don't blame them. You know, I really, really don't. It's not that easy. Like you said, you have to keep coming out over and over again. And it's hard to make people understand that this is a true sexual orientation, and I think that's one of the things the hurdles we have to get over.
Yeah. So when will this guide be published?
So I think, depending on when this podcast is coming out, that it will be published today, September 22nd,
mm-hmm.
Part of Bi Awareness Week, and I am so excited to be part of the week and to share the work with such awesome partners as BINET and BRC.
We're excited too. This is going to be great. This is going to be such a big help, and we're really excited about Bi Awareness Week a lot.
Me too. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So did we cover the recommendation section?
I would love to touch briefly. I'm not sure. So we have three broad recommendations
mm-hmm.
for specifically for LGBT organizations, advocacy groups, researchers, and allies, how they can help us reduce the disparities faced by LGBT by bisexual folks. And those broken into cultural competence. So we encourage folks to increase cultural competence, their own cultural competence, by reading, for example, guides like this, and all the awesome work that's out there is being lifted up and will be lifted up during Bi Awareness Week. Researchers recommend, for example, that therapists have to understand that the experiences of bi clients are much different than the experiences of lesbian and gay clients. So while you may think yourself LGBT competent, it's actually really important to become specifically bi competent, because we do have different needs and different disparities. We will be much better served by competence in general, specifically around bisexuality. And the second recommendation is to increase visibility by openly sharing information for and by bisexual people, lifting up bi stories, for example. If you have any bi-specific programming at your community center, for example, to lift that up so bi people know that they're welcome and that they're affirmed, and that there is programming that is competent for and by them. And then finally, and I know that this is said in every recommendation section for every bi publication ever, but we need to create better data on bi disparities by being precise with our language when we're collecting data on the LGBT community, the MSM community, same-sex and different-sex couples, and all the places where bi folks can be erased if we don't take care of our language.
Thank you. So important. And yes, we need better data, and we need to collect that data in places that bisexuals hang out.
Exactly.
And I think that's part of the issue there. And I also really think this information is going to be great for therapists, because we need to have some kind of standardized consistency on dealing with bisexual issues in therapy.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, to collect information where bi folks are. I mean, and it also is difficult to find us if there is no visibility of programs. So a bi person is less likely to go to programming at a community center if there's no bi-specific programming, or if bi seems like it's just an afterthought. But once you have that bi-specific programming, then you have a place in which you can find bi people to collect good data.
We recently spoke with Dr. Brian Dodge and Dr. Schick about that, and they had no issue finding plenty of bisexual people to participate, but they went to a place where they knew that they could find them.
Yep.
And, you know, and that's a big important point. Yeah. Wow. Is there anything else you'd like to add today?
Yeah, I wanted to thank again BiNet and the Bi Resource Center up here in Boston so much for your partnership and your incredible work. They've both been really amazing sources of change within our movement. And now, as a bi person, writing a guide about bi people, it's been super rewarding and very special to work with them. I am happy to lift up their work and the work of our whole community that is really fighting a good fight. For support.
We have to totally agree with you. We are really quite proud and feel very honored and supported by our leaders that we have. And we can't do nothing but praise them either. So,
yep.
So you're in Boston. Have you done work with Fenway?
I have not done any work specifically with Fenway. I am a member of the Bi Women's Group, and I meet with Robin Oates occasionally. And I'm actually hosting the Bi Women's Brunch in November, so I'm very excited about that. We have so many amazing programs here in Boston. I'm embarrassed to admit I am guilty of assuming that this programming will be around for a long time and not taking the advantage of it that I should. But the programming opening up in Fenway, the research going on there, and having Robin up here and BRC. We have a young person's group. We really have an embarrassment of riches up here. It's really great.
Fantastic. I'll include a link to that also for all the local people that want to go find some fun and some real good information and support.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I was going to talk about what I see so much in so many of the studies that come out on LGBT issues, that we still kind of get lumped in, and especially when the stats become more dire when bisexuals are in, and then they're used to say, well, lesbians are at this health disadvantage, or gay men are at this health disadvantage, when we're actually inside of that and not split out. Hopefully this guidebook will help deal with some of that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that points to the failure of asking questions that just ask about behavior, for example, or just ask about identity, because then you conflate the folks who, for example, MSM, if your research asks just, have you ever, for example, had sex with a man, then you are conflating men who have sex only with men and men who have sex with many women, along with the conflation of trans folks in there too. That there really needs to be kind of deliberate and thoughtful creation of these survey instruments to make sure that when we're conflating data, we're doing so purposefully. And when we need to be more precise and slice the data between gay men and bisexual men, whether that's behavior or identity, that we're doing so thoughtfully and deliberately. And that never are we speaking about data kind of without the purpose or deliberation that bi folks really deserve to have. Because that kind of carelessness, as you said, John, can really conflate the disparities facing gay men and bisexual men, when in fact there may be internal disparities that need to be parsed out more precisely.
Well, and it promotes that whole concept in the general public that bisexuals don't really have their own issues. They're just LGBT issues.
Another question just about the guide. And is it very specific to work to being used within the LGBT community, or is it broader so that it can be used outside of it? Because, you know, I'll give you my example. Is one of the members in my local bi group is working for a national mental health association, and one of the things that she's working on generally is to give them more bisexual awareness. Would this guide be helpful to her to take to her bosses?
Yeah, I think it really would. I think we've crafted these publications, so this is going to be actually the first of three publications, and hopefully more that we're crafting in this Understanding Issues series, the first one being the bi guide, the second one being a general LGBT guide, and the third one being a trans-specific guide. And we've crafted them specifically to give folks a 101, very basic primer, and then kind of a 201 deeper look at some of the specific disparities and recommendations we have around each community. So I think that that's a perfect example for folks who may have some basic LGBT competence but really need that extra edge of bi understanding, and this is the perfect document for them.
Great. On our event on the 22nd, I'll make sure that she gets a copy.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Hot off the press. Is there any more that you want to add before we close it?
No, I mean, I just want to thank you guys for being so specifically bi-inclusive and awesome, and for giving me the space as a bi person and someone who works with LGBT folks in this arena. It's really great. Thank you so much.
We find it really rewarding, and we enjoy doing it. So thank you. Thank you for doing all that you do.
My pleasure, honestly.
Yeah. I'm proud of the work that we do here. Well, I'll just let you know, all the links that we've discussed today will be provided on the website.
And John, you do have something to mention about Center Bi that you started today.
Oh,
you want to break that up?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. We now have a GoFundMe. So it's a GoFundMe Center Bi Net, and give us money. We have a lot of program in D.C. On the 22nd, we have the presidents of both Binet USA and the Bi Resource Center coming to speak to our local community. And we're very excited as our Celebrate Bisexuality Day event, or Bi Pride event, as we call it these days. And we also have other events planned for the week, a fundraiser and a funraiser kind of
mm-hmm.
event. So they'll be up soon, and I'm sure I'm going to do a plug interview for him before the day.
I'm sure we will. And, of course, we're going to plug ourselves today because we have our own GoFundMe. Also, we do have a Patreon account if you want to just pledge $1 a month. And that brings up another thing for me, Heron. Do you guys need support donations or volunteers?
No, we don't. Actually, we are an independent think tank, so we have the immense luxury of not needing donations. But please visit LGBTMAP.org and check out all of our awesome resources and our equality maps on our website. Find us on Twitter and on Facebook. We'd be happy for your support that way.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. I'll just ask, where is MAP located physically?
We have an office in Denver, but we're actually a mostly remote team, which gives me the luxury of working out here in San Jose.
Oh, cool.
We're a remote team all over the place, too.
Yeah, all over the world.
It's
we
great,
are.
Right? We love it.
Yeah.
We love it. I just want to remind everybody, you're not wrong, you're not broken, and you're not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Thank you so much, Heron. We really enjoyed this.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Really well.
October 1st, our trans bill takes effect. So
We should have the trans bill on there. For Maryland, non-discrimination, we have employment, and we have housing, and we have public accommodations on here, all for Maryland for trans.
We had our first child in D.C., and it was just me being on the birth certificate. And in Maryland, you know, we're in the midwives, and they said, you guys aren't legally married, are you? It's like, no, we're, you know...
No,
we're actually, you know, we support marriage, but we're
against.
So we actually, you know, I actually had to fill out affidavit and all this stuff, and you know, they said like if you don't do it before he's born, you're gonna have to adopt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
That's the way it was when I had my first daughter. They said, well, you have to go back. Told my husband if. The father of the baby before we got married, well, you have to go back and adopt her.
Yep.
And it's like, no. So, I thought of that question.
Yeah.
Give me just a second so I can remember what it was now again because I started talking about something else.
Yeah.
Oh, and one of the things that was brought up in a conversation I had recently is the way statistics and on surveys are collected where they will say, are you gay, lesbian, bisexual, or other? And they're not being very specific about what they mean. And a lot of times they will separate when they collect data or surveys, they will collect bisexuality, pansexuality, all as different entities and not under the same umbrella. And that's something I think is a concern for me.
Yeah, the CDC study. You know, like if you added other and bisexual, you got proper numbers.
Right, because, you know, other can mean something else besides bisexual, pansexual, or whatever.
It could be asexual.
It could be asexual, and I think the language needs to be a little more cohesive, inclusive, that bisexual includes bisexual, pansexual, multisexual, omnisexual, polysexual, all of those, and others should be, say, something like asexual and not other, you know. That's my opinion.
You know, though, I bet you if we ask Dr. Dodge the question, are you working with the CDC about, like, the next time we do this study that it's going to be better? I'm sure that he's probably doing it. When I saw those numbers, and of course, when I saw it in gay and lesbian publications, it was all about, well, why are these numbers so low? And it was like, well, hey,
yeah,
man,
they
like, our numbers, man, it's not even... even close, and
well,
the Williams Institute researcher who actually did a bunch of interviews, I saw at some point, you know, when it was reported in the gay and lesbian press that it was pretty clear, and he pretty much said, well, you know, if you add if you add other and bisexual together, that pretty much correlates with the kind of numbers that we see. But there were other publications where it just said, oh, well, you know, this low percentage correlates to the numbers that we see, right?
Well, even the gay and lesbian community said that these numbers are really off. Our numbers are not that low.
Right.
You know? So I give kudos to the CDC for actually doing this, they need to do a lot of tweaking.
Well, I mean, you know, and the other piece was like, some of the researchers from that study really came forward and said, there's something wrong here. And I read a good bit of that because, you know, once you get, I mean, I always hate when I'm reading these things, you know, like I'm reading stories about studies, and especially when my community is involved in it, a lot of the times the journalists really don't get into the actual stuff.
Yeah.
Not good reporting. Yeah. It's like sloppy reporting. And, you know, it takes me 2 minutes to go to the...
Well, it's fast food. Yeah, it's fast food.
So we had to deal with this issue when we were writing the guide, and we came up with a very, very long footnote annotating the beginning of the document when we talk about the fact that there are 9 million or 9 million LGBT folks and more than half identify as bisexual. We were really committed to keeping that in, but we had to annotate it with this. I think we have like 6 or 7 sources, including the CDC National Health Interview Survey, which had the low numbers. Mm-hmm. But we really talk in that footnote about how different survey instruments, different survey questions can come up with these different numbers, but they were pretty confident that the 3.5% of the population, with about half of those as bi folks, mm-hmm. has been consistent with this, with the CDC National Health Interview Survey being anomalous because of its data collection processes. Mm-hmm. It collected the data in person or on the phone, as I think mm-hmm. Gary Gates said in that article you were talking about, John. So yeah, we had to kind of parse that out.
And yeah,
this is probably a little before your time, but like I always pin it to the HRC in like late 2007 did a poll on for LGBT people. It was an internet poll, and they asked whether you were supporting Hillary or Barack, right? And the HRC has a long connection to Hillary Clinton. So they really wanted to show that she had more LGBT support than Barack Obama did at that point. And it came out, and the Williams Institute, I think, actually was, they were actually funded to help do this internet survey. And it came out that Barack Obama had, and this is like late 2007, had more LGBT support than Hillary Clinton. The other part was that the majority of people that were polled identified as bisexual. And so HRC like kind of disavowed their own survey because they couldn't believe that the majority of respondents were bisexual. And I think at that point, the Williams Institute kind of looked at like and said, well, what is going on here? They do a lot for us to like break us out in studies and to try to find, even like kind of some of the meta studies to try to figure out ways to break us out and separate us as a group. Oh, I could just say, since it's in there, the HRC in 2007, which we really see like lots of improvement in the HRC. You can put that in.
Let's build positive and there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Heron, so much.
Thank you, guys. I really, really appreciate it. This has been great.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.
Nip it back.